Now, they say success leaves clues, and on today's episode, I interview Nathan Alfred from Cavite Construction. Welcome, Nathan. How you doing, man?
Good, man. Thanks for having me on. It's again, it's an honor to be on here with you.
Yeah, it's fantastic to have you here too, brother. Well, let's kick off. I was looking back over the notes when you joined the coaching program in February 25. Love to hear, man, in your own words, why was it important for you to make some changes and get help when you did?
Great question. First of all, like when I got into business, like I was, again, the goal was, you know, financial freedom, time freedom, and the ability to serve your community. And honestly, I wasn't getting any of that. Stress was at a high, trying to juggle everything at the same time, scheduling, you know, trying to get work, meeting with customers, and just managing my guys. And so that was basically, you know, huge for me. And then I heard about PT through a buddy of mine who also owned his own, you know, electrical company business in town. And he told me that, oh, he signed up with PT. And so everything he was telling me that you guys did was literally what I was looking for. And prior to him talking to me, I had already, you know, looked up, you know, other coaching programs out there. But again, it didn't sit right with me, and a lot of it is because I was looking specifically for coaching for tradie companies specifically, and you guys stood out.
Yeah, so Nathan, I'd love to just dig into it. How was your experience of business in that, you know, that initial phase? How was that affecting you mentally and emotionally as well?
Yeah, so in terms of like mentally, it just felt like I had so much on my plate in terms of like managing guys, scheduling, and then finding the time to quote jobs. And then at the same time, trying to schedule and line work up for my guys was a pain to have to do that, even being on the tools. So I was on the tools like all the time, right? So having to juggle all of those things at once was like insane. And so my home life, you know, again, stressful, kind of, I tried not to bring work home, but it's like, it's easier said than done, right? Like you say, yeah, I'm not going to think about work, but you're thinking about work. Like, and it's the smallest and the stupidest things that shouldn't take your mind space. And so, yeah, that was a struggle. Even at night, I remember laying in bed, just thinking constantly about, you know, the next day or the next week or what are we going to be doing? Like, and so, yeah, it was just a constant battle mentally for me.
Yeah. And I think your daughter had been born and perhaps you had another child on the way as well. So it's a busy time, isn't it?
Yeah. And so, yeah, exactly. Right. So when I first started the business, yeah, like my daughter was, I believe she was 2 at the time. And my wife was pregnant to my son and he's 1 now, but yeah. So yeah, it was like, and then having a young family as well, trying to be present at home, not just for my wife, but also for my kids was definitely like a challenge for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. So just so the listeners know, Nathan, can you tell us about the business when you joined Million Dollar Tradie? So, you know, the type of work you do, typical clients, the size of the team, revenue, and that sort of thing.
Yeah, so we're technically a general contractor, GC. So we do anything from like framing, siding, exterior cladding, exterior finishing, interior finishing, and small concrete work. When we first got in with PT, we were mainly doing a lot of framing, mainly because that was the general, the demand here in Alberta. And so the size of our crew at that time, I had 4 employees, and that was not including me. We work with builders in town, like whether that be residential or commercial. And so we basically subbed on projects. So that's generally what we did and what we do. Yeah.
And what sort of revenue and profit margins were you able to generate at that time?
So at that time, before PT, we were anywhere from 30 to like 45 a month. In terms of profit margin, honestly, I had no idea what we were. So that was the struggle, right? So part of the other reason was I had no idea what we were making profit-wise. I just knew that money was coming in every month, but I was totally driving this vehicle blindfolded.
Yeah. Okay. So how does business look now compared to where it was?
So right now, I definitely feel like I have a little bit more control of driving this vehicle. Yeah, we've grown from 4 employees to now we have 10 staff employees, and also I hired an operations manager that helps with, you know, scheduling, basically all the stuff that I don't want to do, he's doing it. So it's been a huge help, definitely, for sure, help having him on. And it's cool because he was also a mentor of mine. And so, yeah, it's been super helpful having him, you know, run that side of the business. It's put me in a position where now I have time freedom. I can focus more on building the business and working on the business and, you know, building relationships with potential customers, clients, quoting, which I enjoy doing. Yeah, and even spending more time with my family is a huge, and I'm actually present at home, whereas before I was not. So it's gotten a lot better than it was before PT. We've grown in terms of revenue. We've doubled in what we made in revenue in the first year being with PT, which is great. You know, we went from making 30 to 45 a month to anywhere from 80 to 100 K a month.
Yeah, and that operations manager is a huge win, isn't it? Because it really allows you to go from being an operator to a business owner, which is a significant shift. So what have those results and those shifts meant for you personally?
So yeah, I think the biggest shift for me was shifting my mindset from, hey, I'm not a tradesperson anymore, I'm a business owner. And I think for me, that was the biggest shift, because now I'm seeing things through that lens where I'm like, no, I'm here to grow this business and not just to be a good tradesperson. I mean, yes, that's when I first got into it, that's kind of how I thought. But no, I'm growing a business here. So I don't know if that makes sense, but.
It does. It makes a massive sense. And I think it changes your stress levels as well, because it feels more proactive rather than just fighting fires and trying to keep yes. things rolling on day by day, week by week, which is, it's not, I mean, it's still stressful at times for sure.
Yeah.
And anything good takes some effort.
Yeah.
But it's a massive shift.
Yeah. I was going to say, like, I think, like you said, like putting out fires, I went from having to put out fires on a regular basis to be like, to move from there and be like, you know what? I have people to do that for me now. And so, and that was, again, a huge shift for me. Is like, because I'm a fixer. I feel like I got to fix everything. You want something done, you do it yourself kind of mentality, right? And so I've kind of learned, especially with having this business mindset, like learning how to leverage people and not you and your time. You know what I'm saying?
And that's a massive lesson, isn't it? And it's quite hard emotionally and mentally sometimes, because I don't know if you're like me, but sometimes you almost feel a bit guilty about getting other people to do the work, as it were.
Yeah.
But actually, your job as a business owner, your job, the work you need to do is grow the business so that you can provide good opportunities and employment for your team and do a great job for your clients and your community. So, it's definitely a big shift, isn't it?
Yeah. And if I was to add to that too, is like, and this is something a mentor told me too, like, you're find people that are better at what you do, better than what you're good at, and get them to do it. And so that's kind of the motto I've kind of lived by. It's like, if you know, I'm not the best carpenter, but I know amazing carpenters and I hire them. And I'm not good at ops, managing operations. That's why I hired someone else, right? And I leverage them. And so, and I think having, that was, a huge shift.
Yeah. I mean, that's so critical. And it's actually very hard for a lot of the listeners find that difficult, because number one, maybe they're scared of hiring people better than them. Maybe they don't know if those people exist. Maybe they don't want to pay for them. Maybe they're scared that they'll be showing up. But it is the absolute key to success, because at the end of the day, why do you want to hire people who are not better than you? Because then you've still got to hold their hand and help them. And you're limited by your own experience and expertise, which is the opposite of leverage. So that's some fantastic lessons, Nathan. I think the cool thing is you've grown in the last year, but that's going to set you up for some massive growth in the future as well, which is really exciting. So Nathan, you've made lots of changes, and I thought maybe we could focus on a few of those that I think have made the biggest difference, just so you can share some of those lessons and wisdom with the listeners. So can we talk about cash flow, you know, first off? I know things were tough at the start. How did not having enough cash flow affect you?
Mentally, stressful, because you're constantly thinking, how I'm going to make payroll, I'm going to pay bills. And especially, you know, not having line of credit, like if your cash flow sucks, you're going to suffer a lot. And so that was the biggest things for me, was like, man, it was mentally stressful, taxing.
I think for people who have never owned a business, and obviously most people listening have owning a business, it is very stressful, and it affects your confidence as well. It really digs in there. How did you go from that sort of situation? to being in a better situation where you can pay your bills? What did you actually do?
So there was a few things. So the first one being having payment terms with customers, and not just putting it in your quote, but actually meeting with your clients and the customers and builders, and just saying, hey, these are my terms and this is why I have these terms in place, and just being transparent that way. And at the same time, so that was one way, being very clear with your payment terms. And the second thing was I have an option for like a pay quick option. If builders or customers pay within the first 24 hours of invoicing, they get 5% discount. And 10 days after that first 24 hours, it's a 2% discount. So that's helped lots. So instead of having to wait 30 days to get paid on an invoice, I get paid within 24 hours to 10 days of invoicing.
Awesome. Hey, what suggestions would you have for other business owners who are really struggling on the cash flow front?
I would say, first of all, know what your expenses are. I think that was one of the biggest things for me, knowing what your budget is monthly in terms of what are your expenses, your OPEX, operation
yes.
costs, what is your yep. operation expenses, and figuring out what you need to be making every month, what you need coming in every month to meet those. But at the same time, you get paid and your guys get paid. So I would say start there. And then secondly, making sure your payment terms are clear. There's no guessing, there's no assumptions. And this is one of those things you need to over communicate, especially with all your customers and your clients. And really though, what it comes down to is you need to get paid, period. Why are you stressing about you getting paid if you're not actually communicating that with your clients?
Yeah.
No point complaining about them not paying you. It's probably because you're not talking to them about it. So
yeah. I think there's, you've done some really great stuff there, because putting payment terms in place and being firm on that is important, but some people struggle with the mental side of that. They kind of, they're a bit afraid of asking, or they feel like it's a bit awkward to really drill into that stuff.
Yeah.
And I think something you've done really well is to say, hey, this is the job I've done. It's my money. I deserve to get paid. I'm going to get paid. And not in an unkind way. It's like, hey, don't muck me around. This is how we roll.
Yeah.
And I think that's not being unkind. It's just putting on your own oxygen mask first, which I think is absolutely critical from a cash flow front. And when people struggle with cash flow, it's typically because if they really look in the mirror, they've probably been a little bit weak and soft about dealing with it.
Yeah. And I think it's, again, like you said, it's about you getting paid for your work. And I've heard this said before, you go to a restaurant and you pay for a meal. You don't say, oh, wait 30 days. Yeah, I'm going to pay you for what I ate.
Good luck going to the grocery store and walking out without paying.
Exactly.
So something that struck me is the way that you've worked on and improved the profitability of the business, not just the revenue, which you've done as well. What are the key levers that you've pulled on the profitability front, Nathan?
Well, tightening really my pricing. Again, I've when I meet with customers, I always tell them, I'm not the cheapest around in town, cheapest guy in town. But this is why. Relationship is huge piece for me. But in terms of profitability, one of the things I learned being a part of PT is the importance of back costing. And so back costing my jobs helped me, again, be realistic with not just the capacity of our guys and our crews in terms of how long it takes them to get a job done within a certain period of time to meet our margins. So even in saying that, with back costing helps me price jobs better so that we get the profitable, the profit margins that we need to operate.
I was going to say, so back costing, for those people who aren't familiar with that, can you just explain what that is and how it helps profitability and pricing?
So back costing basically, to my knowledge, is when you estimate a job and you get the job, so you're basically tracking how much a job costs you to do the job against your estimate price. So when you find whatever that job costs you minus that with the estimate price, it gives you a clear understanding of how much you made on that specific job, and also how much each employee made you on that specific job.
And so it really feeds back into your estimating, doesn't it? Because you can see sometimes it's the job didn't go so well, but sometimes the estimating was a little bit aggressive or not or whatever. And so it's like a really good profitable feedback cycle, isn't it?
Yes, because the money doesn't lie, right? Numbers don't lie.
Exactly.
Numbers don't lie. And I think that was the biggest huge shift for me, you know, being a part of PT, was understanding the numbers, not just on the estimating side, but even just on the overall, like, am I actually making money on the jobs I'm on? Because if I'm not making money on the jobs I'm on, then why am I even in business? And I think that going back to what, you know, we were talking about, like the shift from, I'm not just a carpenter, a tradesperson, I'm a business owner. So as a business owner, I have to eliminate myself from like a tradesperson per se and say like, hey, no, the business needs to make money. I need to separate myself from the business. Yes, the business needs to make money. Yes, the business pays me. The business pays my employees. So understanding that was key for me.
Yeah, it's huge.
As opposed to, and I know guys in town that have no idea what they're making on jobs. I can guarantee you they don't even know what back costing me. And this is not a dig at any of the trades out there. It's just the reality, you know, like there's so much money that's left on the table. If you're not back costing your jobs, you will have no idea.
Yeah, this is massive, isn't it? Because a lot of those, it's not a blame game at all. It's not stuff you're taught when you do an apprenticeship or anything like that.
No.
And sometimes those people think they're making money, but they don't know. And the problem is often they're actually the people who don't price properly, or they price too low, and they make life difficult for everyone because they don't understand the cost of running a business and the fact that you have to have a certain margin to pay for everything and to leave a profit. And so I think part of the mission we have is to actually raise the game for everyone, so that we can all make a really good living and not have people who probably drag things down when that's really damaging. Okay, let's look at the business today. I think culture is really important. Like, mm-hmm. that's something you've really worked hard on. So was there a moment or a realization that you made you decide that you needed to really focus on culture?
One of my biggest stresses owning a business was, and a lot of it was just managing guys, managing people. And a lot of that had to do with the culture. I remember days where I literally cry in my truck every day because I'm trying to figure out, you know, just, you know, personality differences and just guys not showing up and all that, right? And a lot of it was because I allowed it to happen. So huge for me was, you know, realizing that my culture needed to shift, crew culture. It was different when I was on site versus when I wasn't on tools and like trusting the guys a little bit more to, you know, be culture carriers. And so what helped us with, again, with the culture piece was, and this is when I hired my ops manager to come in. And so he created policies. We literally had no policies before PT, right? I didn't mention this, but yeah, we didn't have any policies, no job description. So there was literally no clarity on what was expected from all of my guys. And I felt like as soon as we made that shift in terms of, you know, having a policy, company policy, you know, what are the things we value? What are the things we don't tolerate? Or even just, expectations. Like what are your expectations as a lead foreman or an apprentice with us? And so a lot of those things kind of eliminated the questions and the guessing, like, and what was expected of our guys. And so I believe having policies and clear expectations help with the culture in that sense. I think the biggest thing too, like I've used this saying because I had someone say this to me, you want to become what you want to multiply. And so a lot of it had to start with me. So I had to model what the culture I wanted within my organization, within my company first. So that started with me. Every time I meet with my lead foremen and my ops manager, I tell them the same thing. You become what you want to multiply in with your crew, within this company. So
yeah, like that's so important. The leadership component is what drives the culture in the business. And my experience You know, obviously working with thousands of businesses, as people think that beers and barbecues and pizza nights are what culture is all about. And yeah, that might be helpful to a point, but the actual best part of culture is just running a really solid business with clear expectations, strong leadership, good policies, good hiring, and looking after people. That does the heavy lifting with culture. Mm-hmm. Then if you add some beers and barbecues on top of that, you might, you know, that's another 5%. But if you just do the beers and barbecues, it doesn't work. It's no. Like chaos.
Yeah.
So I love that. You've added a bunch of people to the team. What have you done differently to find great people when other people seem to struggle with hiring?
Well, I think that's just it, right? Like the having clear expectations, or job descriptions, even just the hiring ads, job ads, it's been huge. Just learning to ask the right questions, it's been also huge. Because like, again, like people can tell you that they're great carpenters and, oh yeah, they're really great with people and, you know, but then when you show up in the first week, the first day, sometimes like I've hired guys that on their first day, and like my guys come and tell me like, yeah, he's not a good fit. And I think that would be another key piece to my, like just the hiring process is like our guys right now, they take ownership of that side of things too. It's because I tell them like, I have a 3-part hiring process. The first one is I give you a phone call. And then if that's good, we meet in person. And then the third one is you come work with us for a week. And then I'll let my guys tell me if you're a good fit or not. And so that's been key. For the most part, we have amazing guys that work for us right now in terms of they carry the culture well. They watch out for one another. So, yeah.
And the fact that you've worked on the culture is going to make it easier in the future to hire the right people too. There's no doubt that that word gets around about that as well. The fact that you've put thought and effort into this hiring piece is massive, because hiring the right people is probably about 70% of success. Everything else is so much easier.
Yeah.
You know, when you get that right. And I think it's very tough for a lot of business owners. And if you're listening, you're trying to do everything and you're super busy and maybe you only hire someone 2 or 3 times a year. So, you know, it's like starting from scratch often. But the time and effort you put into this and getting good at this is probably the biggest leverage activity you can perform.
Yeah,
because these people will really do the heavy lifting for you in the future as well. So yeah. So good work there, man. I think that's a fantastic effort. And I think that's probably worked into how you've actually grown the business as well. You know, I think you sort of said from 35 to 45 revenue to a lot more now in the last 12 months. It's a really solid effort. What are the 2 or 3 things that have really helped you with the revenue growth?
I think for me personally is having the time to do that. Because before PT, you know, being on the tools was really difficult to actually try and grow the business. Because if you're not growing the business, you're not making money, right? Someone told me, as long as you're on tools, you're not making money. Ever since I've been off the tools, it frees me up to meet with the right people, meet with the right customers, clients, build relationships, and then quote and estimating. I have more time to estimate. I'm not estimating when I'm at home, I'm estimating when I'm at work from 8 to 3 or however long that is, right? And so again, it freed me up from having to do that in the evenings. And what that did was it really just cut my family time at home. And so I don't do that anymore. So that's a praise point. I would say those were the biggest changes was, having the time to actually work on the business and meet with the customers.
It's a very interesting observation, because growth does require time, capacity, and effort.
Yeah.
And if all your effort, time, and capacity is going into just doing the work you've got, you typically find your business has quite a boom and a bust cycle. So it'll grow a little bit because you're a bit quiet and you get busy estimating and chasing work. And then you get very busy doing the work and you don't have enough time to estimate and look for more work. And so the workflow drops off and you just have this bouncing effect. And so, you know, if you're listening and you've got that bouncing effect, it's probably because you don't have enough capacity in your business to actually focus on growth. Yep. And sometimes, like Nathan's done, you have to take some steps and some leaps of faith to actually get some more people involved so you can actually grow. And often growth comes from just having more capacity. It's as simple as that, which is a bit scary sometimes, but it's actually the way it works. For those people who are stuck at a certain level of revenue or team size and want to grow, what do you think are the most important things for them to concentrate on from your experience?
This is something that I wish I did before I grew, was really asking yourself, what am I doing well right now? And what are the things I need to work on right now? And then as soon as you do that well at the stage that you're at right now, then I would look into, then I would figure out, okay, where do I want to be and how do I get there? And what are the steps I need to take to actually get there? Because like at every growth stage, there's always growth pains. And trust me, it's called growth pain for a reason. It sucks. And I would just, you know, encourage anyone that's listening right now, like if you push through, it's a lot better on the other side. And I would just say in that season, during that season, I would just say, you know, what are the things I need to work on myself personally, mentally, and even as a business? What are the things I need to work on? Like if it's a new hire that I need right now, okay, what do I need to get someone? Like what are the steps I need to take to get there, right? And even just finding areas right now in your business where you know, you're the bottleneck. If you're absent from that picture, how does it affect your business? It's difficult because you're having to have the difficult conversations.
Sometimes with yourself.
And a lot of the time it's with yourself. Yeah,
I'd love to dig into that more, Nathan, in terms of mindset changes. What have you had to do mindset-wise to actually achieve the growth that you've had?
Well, here's one for sure is like, I'm not an expert. And like having that mindset, I'm a learner. Always have a mindset of learning new things. And when you think you know it all, that's when you have it wrong. I would say that would be the biggest thing for me is like always be a learner, listening to a lot of leadership podcasts, read a lot of books has been huge for me.
And anything else from the mindset side that's really, really hit home for you, whether it's about your understanding of money or time or leverage?
In terms of mindset, again, biggest thing I've said this before is like find people that are better than you at doing certain things. And use them. Maybe use is not the right word. Leverage them because you can't do it all. And I think that's been the biggest shifts for me in terms of mindset is understanding that I can't do this on my own. I need people. As a business owner, one of the biggest things you're constantly doing is casting vision. And I find myself that's literally all I'm doing a lot of the time, especially when I'm meeting with my employees or my management team, that's literally all I'm doing is casting vision. Hey, this is where we need to be. This is why. This is why we're doing what we're doing right now. Yeah, it might be a shitty job you're on right now, but this is the end goal. I'm in it for them. That's kind of the mindset I've, you know, taken on. It's like I'm in business for my guys, for my employees. It's not the other way around.
Yeah, that's a great leadership lesson. Servant leadership as well is a very important part of growing a great culture. So Nathan, how important has been getting some outside help for you in terms of the changes that you've made?
Find people that are good at what they do instead of trying to reinvent the wheel. And that's really why I joined PT was I wasn't really looking for something new. I was looking for something that had tangible results and that worked already. And that's literally it. Finding things that already work and use it.
Yeah, it's a smart play. Certainly been one of the most powerful things I've done in our business journey is getting the right coaches and mentors.
Yeah,
it has made an enormous difference. And I think the cool thing about that I find is if you see other people doing stuff and they're further ahead than you, it's like, well, if they can do it, then there's no reason I can't do it either. I just need to learn the steps. And that's make it that simple. So
you know, being in business is it's a faith step for sure. Again, you just don't know what you don't know, right? And everything's a risk right now, and so it has to work. As a business owner, this has to work because my family's counting on me. I'm so grateful for you know what I've learned and what I'm learning here at PT. But at the same time, God's teaching me so much at the same time. This last month, March. I literally had nothing on the schedule. It was a weird season right now in Alberta where we are, where there's not a whole lot in the ground, not a lot work in the area. And then all of a sudden, I get this phone call from an Aussie, an Australian, and it's like, hey, I need a framing crew out here in Mascouche. you can explain that? How does that happen? Yeah, I mean, a lot of it, you know, I credit to, you know, what I'm learning at PT, but at the same time, like, you know, it's cool to see God's hand on, you know, just the business. Yeah, so it's not just a business doing business the right way, but there's also a spiritual element of it as well. And like, I lean on that more than anything. So
I think it's incredibly helpful and found it helpful in my life and business as well. And one thing I like about the discussion we've had today is God will give you some gifts, but he also expects you to use them and get busy and hustle and make the most of what you've been given. And I think that's the challenge for us as business owners as well. So can't wait to see the progress into the future.
Yeah, for sure, man. It's exciting. Yeah. A lot of cool things in the pipeline, like even just to see even the growth. And like, I think if there was one thing I would add to is like, as business owners, we tend to forget all the good stuff that's happened. Right. And even just, you know, celebrate the wins. I think as business owners, we don't go there first. We go to the fires that we got to put out. And I would say my biggest and challenge to anyone that's listening right now is, and this is something I'm constantly getting in the habit of every morning, is like, what am I winning at right now? Like, you know, what can I be grateful for right now? That would be my encouragement to anyone listening right now, is like, what are your wins? Start there.
Man, this has been a great chat, and hats off to you for the learnings that you've done. And I've enjoyed this very much because I can see that you've put a tremendous amount of effort into learning yourself. You've made some good strides already, but for you, I think the best results in the business will come in the next 2 or 3 years, where a lot of this learning and effort that you've put into play will actually really fruit for you. So I'm very excited about that for you, and very excited to see that journey as well. Awesome, man. Well, great chat, and I really appreciate you. You know, just pray God's blessing on the enterprise as well, and on your family, and you know, for your team, and the ripples that puts out to the community as well. It's very powerful.
Congratulations on being part of a select group of savvy business owners who are taking their businesses to the next level. And to help you on your journey, don't forget to check out our show notes for a copy of our free book, The Profitable Tradie, and other valuable resources. Thanks for being a part of this special group, and we'll see you in the next episode of the Profitable Tradie Podcast.